Doula Dispensary, the podcast prescribing a weekly dose of all things doula. The dilemmas discussed are made-up scenarios, and any resemblance to actual persons or events are purely coincidental. Please welcome your hosts, Siobhan and myself, Kiki.
Hello, Siobhan.
Hi, Kiki. How are you?
I can see you today on our week podcast number 33.
Yes, so we're doing a Zoom call so we can actually see each other today.
So maybe that will help when we keep kind of talking over each other, not seeing when we should start singing and doing the introductions and stuff. Anyway, what have you been up to this week? What have you been doing?
Oh, an action-packed week. Yeah, no. no, I have been, well, I make sure I go out and do my hour or so, you know, of exercise. Yeah. So I walk, obviously I've got my dog, so I am going out to walk my dogs. I usually do that really early in the morning to try and avoid other people. The weather's been amazing, hasn't it?
I know, it's been so nice.
Yeah, but what I've been doing, I've been loads and loads of Zoom calls. It's another week of a lot of time on the laptop, which I'm not used to. I'm not used to working so much on a laptop, which I'm struggling a bit with. You know, I'm getting a few headaches, my eyes are hurting a bit. So trying to come away from it every now and again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
what about you?
Do you know what? This week I have been doing, well, I've been kind of planning a few things in the pipeline via Zoom again, some Zoom meetings I want to do. And I've also started to try and put together an online doula course, which was a bit overwhelming.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And the weekend, yes, because it's like today it's a gorgeous, sunny, warm day. And over the weekend we were doing some gardening and just hanging, well, just sitting outside in the sun, really. It was really nice. Had a really nice weekend.
Good. Yeah. I know it does help when the sun is out. And for those of us that have got some outdoor space, gardens, it's great, isn't it?
Very lovely.
Do you know what is annoying me, though, is... have you noticed on the Facebook groups all these people who are out themselves taking pictures of other people who are out saying they're not social distancing?
I know. It makes me laugh. Like, oh, look at this. They closed this car park and this person parked outside it. What were you doing driving past anyway? Were you trying to go there?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like everyone suddenly turned into the police, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly.
It's really, really funny. Yesterday when I was walking along the street, this old couple, I have no idea who taught them measurements, but they must have, I mean, their idea of what 2 meters is was about a mile. I mean, literally, I can't believe the amount of space some people think they actually need. But yeah, it's just weird. The whole thing is so weird.
I know, but that, I think the 2 meters, moving here from Sweden, I noticed that not a lot of British people knew the metric system. So if I said, like, if my weight in kilos or how tall I was in centimeters, people would be like, what was that? So I think maybe the government should have said 2 meters apart, or in the old term, 6 foot.
Yeah, in old money. Yeah.
Exactly. Because I think a lot of maybe the older generation is not really sure.
Yeah, it's the older generation that are struggling with 2 meters, thinking it's about a mile. Yeah, it's the length, it's a llama, isn't it? It's one llama, two llamas.
Okay.
It's what it is, if you're into llamas.
Yeah, well, you see, growing up in Sweden, we used to kind of, we kind of learned how much a meter is by taking a step. So each of us actually know what my step is in a meter. So it's just funny to see people, literally also thinking they're 2 meters apart when they're literally 90 centimeters.
Yeah. Everybody's just got, no spatial awareness at all. Yeah, but everyone's turned into detectives, posting lots of photographs of social gatherings, as they call it. Yeah, I mean, there was a picture the other day of four people sort of sat on benches, but they were each on an individual bench.
Okay.
The thing is, those people may have come from a flat, like they may have been in flats, and maybe that's the nearest open space. And you could see they were all social distancing, but I don't know. I just think, it's everyone's turned into like a detective.
I think it's confusing though, because they say, okay, you should go out every day for some exercise. You can go do your shopping. So that actually means you can't actually go out and meet people anywhere with the purpose of meeting people, even if you're planning to stay 2 meters apart. And I don't think that's what people get. They're like, well, we're 2 meters apart, so why can't we go out and meet other people and stay 2 meters apart? Well, no, actually, you're not meant to be going out. That's the thing.
Yes. Well, this is the trouble. It's the clarity is not there, exactly. Is it? You know, we've seen it ourselves, people, you know, in the doula community saying, you know, you have to stay at home. You cannot work. Actually, that's not the government guide. The government have said you can go to work if you don't, and if you can't work from home. So
I think we should be moving on and talking about that in one of our next sections, aren't we, Siobhan?
Yeah. Okay.
No, we should get on with it. We should go and go.
Shall we section. Crack on with the show?
Yes, let's crack on. Ba-da-ba-da-ba.
Right, so now it's time for
Jesus. That was bad. It doesn't work when we can't see each other. But anyway, this week's doula dilemma. A postnatal doula has been approached for some in-person postnatal work during the coronavirus outbreak. The client is a vulnerable woman who had postnatal depression after her first baby and is now desperate to avoid this time around.
Interesting dilemma.
Yes. And
what do you think, Kiki?
I think this might be something that is going on for quite a lot of people around the world who are doulas, you know, because I know that we it's not necessarily, and I want to say that it's not about the money. I don't think this doula is thinking, oh, I must go and I need to earn some money. I mean, that is a problem in itself, since we are not earning any money at the moment, unless we're doing, you know, distance or remote support. But this comes down to this, what you were just saying a minute ago about what are the guidelines. Like, some doulas might think that they should just say, no, you shouldn't be doing this, because you should be staying home. So I'm just going, I'm just on the government website right now, because I wanted to read this. So what you need to know, stay at home, it says. Mm-hmm. Only go outside for food, health reasons, or work, but only if you cannot work from home.
Right.
If you go out, stay 2 meters away from other people at all times. 3, wash your hands as soon as you get home. Do not meet others, even friends or family. You can spread the virus even if you don't have symptoms. Those are the governmental guidelines. Only go outside for food, health reasons, or work, but only if you cannot work from home.
Yeah, I think, you know, look, for me, that's quite clear. For some doulas, they think they just stop reading it after it says stay at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which, you know, which is just the heading of the whole paragraph. But so how would you feel about this, though? Because I'm sure you have to take into consideration the fact that you could be bringing the deceased into this client's house, or you could be taking the coronavirus home with you to your own family.
Yes, this is why it has to be a personal choice made by the individual doula and the client that she's working with. It's not for any of us to be dictating or typing in capital letters telling people they cannot and should not be going to work. You know, the people they should be projecting their anger at is the government, because until the government say you cannot go to work full stop, mm-hmm. then people still will go to work if they cannot work from home. Mm-hmm. And it isn't, like you say, it's not necessarily about money. That's just a very narrow-minded viewpoint from some very privileged people who think it is all about the money. You know, what a lot of these narrow-minded people don't know is the fact that there are these, you know, vulnerable women out there who need this support. And if there are doulas that are willing to go and support them, then you know what? Good luck to them.
Yeah, I think that, like anything, what do doulas do? We give information to our clients and we let the clients then decide for themselves, what risk am I willing to take? Because there's always a risk. So in this case, you could argue that the risk is that this woman will feel even more isolated and lonely this second time around when she already has a child to look after. So the risks or the chances of her getting postnatal depression again are probably quite high. And she has to maybe weigh that up then against, what do I rather have? If I had to choose, what do I rather have? Do I rather have postnatal depression or do I rather have corona? If I, you know, and what is the risk of catching either of those or getting ill with either of those illnesses, I guess, which is really hard. I mean, I guess she will know the chances of her getting postnatal illness again, because the statistics for that, if you had it before, you're more likely to have it again. But I don't know the percentage. And what's the chances of getting corona? What is actually the percentage?
Well, that's it. They don't know. I mean, I think, you know, look, I'm not doing in person at the moment because I'm high risk. I'm in the high risk category. So I can't really put myself in a situation that potentially could open me up to catching it.
And could it potentially kill you, because you are, so you know your risk is a lot higher.
I mean, the chances are, if really I got unwell. It, yeah, I probably would die from it, yes, because of my underlying health concerns. I've lost my train of thought. So I guess what people, what they need to look at, what the client needs to look at, and what the individual doula needs to look at is, are they both self-isolating? Are they social distancing? You know, the thing is, a lot of people are still going out to the supermarket to buy food because you have to. I know you have, you know, you have to, you need to get your food. But God, at the moment, you're more likely to catch coronavirus in the middle of Sainsbury's than you are from going into a maternity unit in a hospital. Mm-hmm. And that was told to me by a healthcare professional.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense, doesn't it? Because
you
have a lot more people moving around throughout the day, touching things. Remember, we think that corona stays on metal, for example, for many hours.
And cardboard.
Items. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like, you have how many people, even if only one person at a time, or one in, one out kind of policy, and keeping 2 meters apart. If someone comes in the morning and sneezes all over, I don't know, the baked bean tins.
Well, that's it. The footfall that is going through a supermarket in the 12 mm-hmm. hours it's opened every day, it is immense.
Yeah.
And it's a wide variety of people, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you have the NHS workers going in there.
Yes.
Who potentially will have been in contact with it more likely than a lot of other people. So,
there's no right, is there? There is no wrong, there is no right. It's an individual choice. But as doulas, we should be, as has been said on the Birth Bliss group, we should be a listening ear with no judgment. That's what we should be. You know, it's just very disappointing to see the vulture circling their ivory towers, waiting to pounce on people that are prepared to go and do something that they're not prepared to do. Just, you know, try and have some respect for each other, you know, and respect that doula's own boundaries, and, you know, that they're grown adults. It's their own business. It's between them and their clients. It's you know, until the government says, no, you cannot go out full stop, you cannot go out for work at all, then I'm afraid until that happens, then doulas that choose to work can.
And I would like to add to that, Siobhan, is at the same time, if a doula chooses not to, you know,
that's also fine.
Exactly. So say if you have a client booked for a birth and for a home birth even, and then all of a sudden you obviously with this coronavirus, you think, I can't take the chance of going to that birth, even though it's a home birth, I don't feel comfortable going. I think you could, what do you think? I think you should actually then maybe see if another doula is willing to support in person, if that's possible, or you can do remote support, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's definitely what we should be doing as doulas, like we do with our clients, is give our clients their choices.
Exactly.
Explain your personal situation and your personal stance on it, that you're not able to support them. For you or, you know, for your family's sake, whatever that's, you know, whatever you know, whatever that reason is, it's fine. And yes, you can offer them remote support, but you know what, if they do want face-to-face support, then yeah, you should be reaching out. As I've done, I was contacted by a woman whose partner is now going to have to stay at home with their little one because her parents aren't going to be able to come to look after their child while she goes in and has the baby. So I wasn't able to offer that support to her. So I opened it up to the doula community to see if anybody could offer her support.
Yeah, rather than saying, look.
Yeah, straight away jumping on and saying, I will give you remote support because that's all that's available. I thought, let's see if there is anybody that will give her, you know, in-person support. Because that's what my role is as a doula, to give somebody all their options.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think it's tricky. It's tricky times. I know we all have this underlying kind of sense of worry, perhaps, or concern or about what's going on, but also frustration about how long are we going to be stuck doing this. So I mean, I think everyone is kind of maybe not showing their best selves at the moment, but at the same time I think we need to really take stock and take a step back before we start bashing each other, especially doulas. We're meant to be kind, non-judgmental, caring and understanding people.
Yeah, we are meant to be, that's right.
But maybe we should leave that there. I don't know. It's there's no straightforward answer, is there? Like you say, it's an individual choice. And
it's individual choice. You know, listen, the government guidelines are, you know, some people need to read beyond the tagline. Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, the tagline is stay at home, but then there is a caveat. There are conditions for why you can't, you know, you can leave your house for certain reasons. Yes. Yeah. One of those is if you cannot work from home. Yeah. So, you know, these people that are getting angry with doulas working, you know, project your anger onto the government if you're that, if you feel that strongly about it.
Yeah. I think, well, hopefully that's been some worthwhile discussion. Yes. A bit of food for thought.
Ba-da-ba-da-bow. Okay, so now it's time for question time.
There's a lag. That's why
must be a delay because. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Never mind. It's question time, people, if you didn't understand that. Okay, so let's have a listen to this week's question, which comes from Jade.
Hi, my name is Jade Lawrence. I am the birthdoulatreasure.co.uk and I have a question for Siobhan and Kiki and would like their opinion. My question is, how as doulas can we help birthing women in the current situation with the restrictions on maternity services in the most effective way, especially for those who cannot afford doula services without having a negative financial impact on my business or other doulas' businesses? Thank you.
Okay, but kind of in a way, maybe, well, it's all very coronavirus time related. What do you think, Siobhan? I'm going to give you the start on this because, you know, I like doing that.
Yeah, you love putting me on the spot.
I mean, this is the discussion about, maybe it's got to do with giving away free things. We see a lot of things being given away for free right now, a lot of
There is. There's a lot. Look, it's a twofold thing, isn't it? You've got, it is the crappiest situation for the maternity services at the moment. If you're pregnant or you've just given birth, you're unable to access the majority of the choices you had before the outbreak. You know, home births have been stopped in the majority of trusts. Water births have been stopped. You cannot have your partner with you antenatally. You cannot have your partner postnatally. So a lot of postnatal visits are being done by telephone. It's a really crappy situation and a very scary one for the women. So yes, they are looking around for support, information. So I get that. I get the setting up of Facebook groups to bring people together, to share information and share suggestions. And I think that kind of free support is brilliant in that kind of setting. Where I struggle with free support is giving away, you know, like in labor support or antenatal classes. Because the majority of the country are either A, working from home, still on full pay, or B, sat at home on 80% of their pay, which probably equates to near enough full pay, because if you minus off their travel expenses, their cost of coffee that they have, their lunch, they're probably actually making more money now than when they were at work. And then you have the self-employed who are not going to get a penny until at least the middle of June. Yet it's all the self-employed people that are giving away stuff for free. I don't get that. I don't get it.
I think that's what Jade's concern is. I mean, we all as doulas give away things for free. We do a free initial meeting or interview with all our clients, but most doulas do. I mean, that's part of, everyone does that. A business does that. You know, you go in and look at, in a shop, see what you can buy, and then you buy it. That's kind of what the free sessions are. And yes, I totally get the whole support groups, because it's easy to jump on there and answer a few questions and that's it. But when you start engaging with on like one-to-one support, and I have to say many of the groups that have been set up or are operating do say, you know, it's for free or voluntary or whatever you can pay kind of thing. But supporting someone online, which you have done, I know, remotely, you did remote birth support, is far from easy.
And so hard.
So, and I also get the, you know, when you, free things are always good, it's part of the marketing of your company, but it's kind of having some kind of a ring fence, a fence around what it is that you give away for free, and also when you stop doing that. Because that's the thing. Once this is all over, how do you then go to start charging for things that you've been given away for free? It's like, I know it's special circumstances, totally get that. So hopefully everyone will think, well, that was because of the coronavirus crisis. That's why they were doing this for free. So maybe in that sense, it's slightly different now than any other time, would you say?
But my point is that this crisis is not—it's not a financial one at the moment.
No, I see what you're saying. Absolutely,
people are still receiving their wages. So why are we giving stuff away free? Because you know what's going to happen when this is over. Please God, we come out the other end of this. We then will have a financial situation when the economy crashes. Because all this 80% pay, and you know, please God, in the middle of June, when our self-employed finally get some money, it's going to have to be paid back by somebody. And who's going to be paying it back? The taxpayers. So there's not going to be money floating around after this.
No, there's going to be hard times. So this, we think these are hard times.
These are hard times. You know, these are hard times from a health point of view, which is, which is the ultimate hard time, isn't it? Because your health.
Exactly.
Your health is the most important thing. But, you know, with all the amazing scientists we have and people looking at, you know, sort of, oh my God, what they called, you know, to prevent you from getting this.
Like, oh yeah, vaccinations
and stuff. Please God, we do find a solution to this, and
yeah,
and we come out the other end. But then we will have the hardship of the economic slump, which will come. It will come, and yeah, boy, will it come. And then there won't be any money.
No.
So why are we not charging now when people are still being paid?
Mm-hmm.
But
also it gets a bit tricky as well if you have doulas that are already been booked for births and are continuing with their contracts, hopefully, if they had a clause in the contract to say, you know, even if something like this happens, we will still provide like support remotely.
Yeah.
Then, you know, bless you.
Sorry, I tried to hide the microphone from that.
I could hear the little sneeze.
Sorry, that's my hay fever. Don't.
Yes, I know. I know. You've got hay fever. No, so you know, they're going to look around and go, look, I can get this for free. All these doulas are offering this in labor, early labor. I just don't know what point you cut off. So early labor support, do you then go, oh, actually, you're now in established labor, so that's it.
Yeah, I can now hear that things are getting really hard for you, so I'm actually going to put the phone down.
Yeah, or from now on, it's an hourly charge. Do you know, it's like, I totally
can you just
get it.
Can you just put your PIN number in before the next contraction?
No, I totally get it. Yeah. We should support all doulas do that. That's why we're doulas. I don't know any doulas that are doing this to make money, because you can't. It's not a job where you're going to be like making a million. Yes, you can earn a decent living, but you're not in it for the money. There's a lot of other things you could do. It's because we care. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't value what we do. So I think it's tricky. And at the same time, like we've just been talking about, not being judgmental and not judging each other. Of course, I'm not sitting here judging anyone. I give stuff away for free. But it's just bearing in mind, like you say, what the consequences potentially could be in the future and how you get around to, you know, to give away things for free whilst protecting your business and your reputation.
Yeah. I know this is it. It's a knee-jerk reaction from people, I think, because nobody was prepared for this. All of a sudden, overnight, we all had to go online. So I think it was a bit of a knee-jerk reaction from people to start offering all this stuff for free.
Yeah, I know. I wish I had stopped offering my online antenatal program for free before the coronavirus.
Yeah. Yeah,
because that's the thing. Now, I had this program that I was just kind of piloting and thinking, oh, once I get to like 500, I'll start charging people for it. And then I literally in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I've had another 500 people sign up. So it's like 1,200 people doing it now. What do I do now? I can't all of a sudden go, oh, actually, now I'm going to charge for it.
This is
the situation you're in. So I just have to keep giving away for free because it just doesn't feel fair. But actually now is the time where that would come in quite handy, since I have no income until June, hopefully, or maybe hopefully I can do some courses online, but it's still not, you know, how it used to be.
No, I know. It's difficult for everybody.
I don't have an answer for Jade, really. And she just wanted our opinion. So hopefully that's what she's getting.
Yeah, I think hopefully, Jade, like, you know, what we were saying about, you know, having maybe a local group on Facebook or something like that, where you can bring people together to offer peer-to-peer support. You can invite, you know, maybe a local midwife into the group or a lactation consultant who can maybe answer some of the questions for anyone that's concerned. That kind of thing works well because it doesn't require an awful lot of your time.
It's the bit of charging. Like, at what point do you, if you have something that you give away for free, there should be very clear boundaries at what point it's going to start costing money, I think.
Yeah, that's it.
You should do that, and that you can do that. But like that's what I said about my antenatal program. It's a dilemma you get into it when you at what point do you stop? And some people will not have any kind of feeling of, oh, she's doing a lot for nothing. We should really give her something for this. Most people, some people will just keep taking.
Yeah, of course they will. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, they will keep taking. So that is the trouble.
Mm. And so in the good things is that you might get a reputation for being someone that knows a lot and that people like you and you give them some support. Do you know what I mean? It's not, so I guess that is, you do get something back because it makes you feel good that you're helping people.
Yeah, there is that. But it's also just making sure that you feel valued. That's important. Because people will take advantage, and some people don't realize that they're doing it. They won't realize they're taking advantage.
No, I think when you, especially also when you're starting out as a doula, often I remember doing loads and loads of things for nothing. But then you get to a point when you kind of think, do you know what? This isn't right. I'm not happy doing that. And this is the point where you.
I was just going to say, it's just about the balance, isn't it? Because is it called funnel selling, isn't it? Where you funnel people down to an eventual product that you want them to buy. So, you know, giving something away is bringing them in, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
But then the next step beyond that is then getting them to go that one step further and book one of your services. And I think this is where a lot of us are falling down, is we're giving stuff away, but there's no direction on then how to bring those people in to actually then book one of your services.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's some doulas that have that all nailed down, and I think ghost doulas totally get the whole thing. Yes, we should give away things for free to get people in to then sign up and buy something from us, and I think that's where we get some of the misunderstandings, because some doulas, they think this is why I'm giving away things for free, because it's bringing me business in. But other doulas are just giving things away for free, like you say, and there's no kind of call to action.
There is no end product for them to then go on and buy. So you just keep end up giving them more and more and more free things. And that's where the issue is, I think.
And that's when it then might look bad on other, or not look bad, but other doulas get a little bit, feel a bit unhappy about it all, because they need to also get some business their way. And because they don't have anything to give away for free, because they can't, or they need to make some money, I guess that's where it all goes a little bit pear-shaped.
Yeah. I mean, this is the trouble is this virus, everybody's scared. And a lot of people are shouting and are angry. But it's all coming from a place of fear, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I do think it needs to be strike a balance. That's my thought on it, Jade. That I don't think it's good to see these big, massive, offerings of free support in labor, because I don't know where the cutoff would be. And I do think a lot of it should come through charity, voluntary organizations, that kind of work. Like as you say, like a group set up on Facebook, where you have some volunteers, like you and, like you said, might be CLC, maybe a midwife, like loads of different people that can answer questions. That's one way.
Yeah, but also get the women talking to each other. Exactly. And then you literally just sit back and watch the group grow and develop. It doesn't, it doesn't need much beyond a little bit of admin from you.
No.
Get them sharing information, what they've learned from their midwives, or, what specialists are still working. That kind of thing can be really beneficial.
I agree.
But not much beyond that. I wouldn't be giving away free.
No. And it also, I don't know how many people will utilize the service either. Because when something is free, I don't know, you might feel a bit suspicious about it.
Yeah.
Is it really free? Free? Anyway, I hope that's helped. That's all I'm gonna say, I think. Anything to add?
No, I think that's it really, isn't it? It's Yeah, I don't know if that helped, Jade, but
yeah, hopefully. But we're going to end there.
Yeah, yeah. Right, so now we've reached the end of the show, and yeah, it's a nice, happy, positive end of the show, because we want to say a massive, massive congratulations to Em and Sophie, because you may remember back in, was it episode 19?
Episode 19, we had them both on here, yeah.
Yeah, so we had Em and Sophie come on that podcast, which was, I think, our most popular podcast, wasn't it?
It's the second most popular, yeah.
Wow. And they spoke to us about their surrogacy journey. So Em was carrying Sophie's baby. They've been best friends since they were at school. And beautiful, beautiful baby Leo Smith was born on Tuesday.
Last week, 31st, it was a week ago, 31st of March, wasn't it?
Oh my God, it was a week ago, you're
yes.
right. You see, this is the trouble with this bloody coronavirus.
I know, it gets into your brain.
Wow, yes, it's already been a week already.
I know, so little baby Leo was safely born last Tuesday, and I think if you want to check out the pictures and find out more of the story, of course, all you need to do is go and look at their
Instagram account.
Their Instagram, yeah. Exactly.
So Sophie's is Life Before You, and Emmy is the Mind. Is it Mindful Birth Group? Isn't it? Yeah, Mindful Birth Group.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
And we are very excited to have the baby arrived, and yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
So good, and it was just so lovely to know that was happening and to have some positivity. It's just lovely, so nice. So yeah, and congratulations.
Big congratulations to Amy and Sophie and their families. And did they upload some TikToks on social media?
Yes, they've got some TikToks of
go and
the
watch
baby.
Them, they're brilliant.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
They're really good.
They are so good. So that was just so nice to have some good news for a change.
Absolutely. And we're hoping to have Sophie and Em back, of course. When that is going to be, not quite sure.
No.
I don't think Zoom. We could try a Zoom, but the sound quality is never as good. And you don't get the same kind of feeling when you're not.
No. And also, we want to meet baby Leo.
Exactly.
Yeah, so when we can, when it's all over, we will have them back on for a catch-up and to tell us a bit more about their journey.
Absolutely. Oh, and that reminds us, well, we had a listener in the States that wrote back, you know when we did an episode about when you burp the baby, you burp too? Do you remember saying that?
Yes, yeah.
She said, and I can't remember her name now, I should go and look it up, but this listener in America said that she does that too.
Does she? Oh my God. Yeah. I'm so glad I have a belching sister out there somewhere.
You have. So you're not alone in burping when you're burping the baby.
Yeah, it's really weird because I'm not a burper. You know, like some people burp a lot. I'm not one of them people. But yeah, whenever I wind a baby, I always end up burping myself. It's so weird. I'm so glad I found somebody else who does that.
I will give you her name. I will look up her name because you should connect with her and burp together.
Yeah, we'll connect. We'll connect over wind. Yeah.
So what are you doing next week, Siobhan? What's your plan?
Oh, my God. Yeah, my week is just action-packed. Nothing. Just more of the same, isn't it? God, it's gonna be week four next week. I think I'm doing well. I haven't cracked up just yet. I'm sure.
Are you doing
coming.
Joe Wicks every morning? Are you doing Joe Wicks?
I'm doing Joe Wicks every other morning, and then I'm going for a run on the other morning. So I'm mixing it up a bit.
Blimey. Yeah, I'm doing Joe Wicks.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's gone live to the nation now, hasn't he?
Yeah, to the world.
To the world.
Anyone in the world can join. So wherever you are listening to this podcast, Joe Wicks, 9 a.m. London time, Monday to Friday.
Yes. But yeah, so yes, I'm trying to just, I still, you know, I'm still setting my alarm, getting up, trying to keep some kind of normality going. Yeah, and just praying to God that this is over soon.
Yeah, I know. I went to Sainsbury's this morning and it's just like, I hate going out. I actually do not go out. I go out once a week and that's it. I might go for a walk occasionally, but I tend to not go out of the house because I can't stand it.
You see, I've not been to a supermarket for 3 weeks.
You queue outside. So I queued probably 20 minutes outside before getting in. The queue stretched all along the car park this morning.
Yeah, Paul's been telling me about this. It's the only thing is I'm getting really frustrated because he's not picking up all the things I actually need from the supermarket. So it's really hard.
You need to write the list in order of them appearing in the shop.
Yes, that's what I do. I'm literally virtually in my head going from aisle to aisle trying to remember where everything is. But like you said,
do you do the little tips? Like, you know where your broccoli is? If you look to the left on that, that's where the Brussels sprouts are.
It's really sad that I actually visualize where everything is in the supermarket. But like you did say, there is still a lot of stuff missing, which is hard.
But I have actually got something on today. Today, when this podcast comes out, 2:00, I'm doing a Zoom for anyone who wants to be a doula, and it's basically, are you ready to become a doula?
Are you ready to be a doula?
Wow, Zulu. I was going to say Zulu. I meant solo.
What's wrong
with my brain? Yeah, I think it's time to give up and go out in the sun. You know, it's 21 degrees out there today.
My God, I need to get out there and get some vitamin D on my skin.
Yeah, definitely. Blossoms are out.
Yes.
Beautiful. So we are so lucky to have a garden, I have to say. Otherwise, I think I would have found this.
My heart does go out to people that don't have a bit of open space. But also, I'm also consciously thinking about, you know, like those kids that live in abusive homes where their only respite was going to school, or, you know, or people that live in, you know, they're living with abusive partners. Yeah. I mean, geez, whenever I start to feel a little bit sorry for myself, that's what I remind myself that actually, I am so lucky. Yeah. I've got outdoor space. I've got a house where I can move around in. I'm not stuck in one room.
I do the same. But also, I think, the other thing I add to that list is imagine being in a flat with kids under 5 years old.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's bad enough being in a house with three grown-up young people. Yeah. And at least we can go to our own rooms, and at least we you know, they listen most of the time to what you say.
And they're not swinging off your ankles looking for your attention every 2 seconds.
Or crying. They do cry. Sorry.
They cry. Yeah, they do cry. Of course they cry. Teenagers and young adults still cry.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, we should just leave it there. We're just going on now.
We're just waffling now.
Waffling on.
Well, everybody, that just leaves us one thing to say, and that is...
See you next day.
Listeners, should always do their own due diligence on any information received from these discussions to form their own opinions and best judgments. In preparing this podcast, we have endeavoured to offer current, correct and clearly expressed information aimed at our audience. However, we make no claims that the information will be accurate, complete or current at all times, and we accept no liability for any reliance placed by any person on this information. We make no representations or warranties of any kind about the suitability, reliability, timeliness and accuracy of the information contained herein.